Joining us, we have John Rosa, Boone County Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator, Boone County, Iowa.
Good morning.
I wanted to emphasize Iowa this time.
Iowa.
<you see.
laughs> How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to July. Here we are.
Yeah.
New fiscal year for you guys.
Yes. Yep.
Yay. And I'm not going to go into how well did we do in the last fiscal year, because you did your audit. Numbers were actually pretty good. You didn't have to buy too many big things. New cell done and everything else like that. So right now, pretty much just moving ahead, regular operations for a while.
Yeah, not a huge expense this past year figured in, like you mentioned. Previous years, we bought the compactor, paid for a cell. There were still some lingering things from wrapping up the cell. There were some last payments to finalize that, leftover stuff. But for the most part, no huge purchases. We wanted to get the netting fence project in, but it's been delayed a little bit, so it'll roll into this next fiscal year, hopefully soon.
Is this a supply issue thing, getting it, or is it just coordinating everything?
Coordinating, there were some issues with staffing, I believe, with the company that we are working with, so from the top,
okay.
The owner of it.
So we had some.
Yep, but we're working through it. So hopefully it'll July, August is what I heard for the last update on for the date anyway. So we'll see. Hopefully that comes into fruition.
This will be one of those challenges again for listeners that might not be aware. An idea that you'd come up with to try and contain some of those plastic bags that take off.
That's right.
You have debris that blows off. Not that, I mean, and you try to contain it and keep it contained as much as you can, as quickly as you can. And there is fencing around it, but this would be
significantly taller.
Significantly taller, trying to catch that stuff that blows over.
Yeah, right. And it's basically a golf netting, golf range, I guess. So it's 1-inch diameter holes, so it should contain anything that would be blowing around, especially those bags. Build it with it tilted in slightly so that it would catch the garbage and drop it down to the bottom, so then we can go around with our vac truck and pick it back up and get it back into the landfill and keep it there. So some of the stuff, historically, you look at the fence that we had around the perimeter, there's a fence. But as the landfill has continued to grow higher and higher, the fence doesn't seem all that high anymore. So it's, as you can imagine, it launches over the top pretty easily. So we're going to add the netting fence.
You're looking down on the fence most places.
That's right.
It is.
So it just doesn't quite work anymore. So now we're going much higher, getting it on two sides and the north and the east sides of the landfill, and try to contain as much stuff from blowing out. Because part of our regulation is when garbage comes in, we have to keep it on site. It blows off, we're responsible to go get that. We also do a lot of picking up on along the road, not just of the stuff that blew out, frankly, because we'll pick up 2x4s, nails, those things that didn't fly out of the landfill but were dropped on the way into the landfill. And sometimes that stuff bounces out or falls off, and I guess someone's got to do it. So then we take it upon ourselves to do a little cleanup of the area. And we can always do more. It's relentless. That's why we also have that covered load policy that has kind of,
occasionally
it's a policy that probably isn't really hammered on. So how do you regulate that? It's one of those fine lines of every person that comes in there should know. What if they don't? I don't know. Maybe
we got to say your commercial haulers are. They're good.
Yep.
And I know, like when the city was doing its cleanup, they tarped their trucks coming in and things like that.
Yep. And it's certainly appreciated. It's that fine line of our haulers are good about that. It's those other ones that are, I've never been to landfill before, I didn't know. Okay. So then we issue warnings we remind people, how do you document that? How do you log that? Keep track of how many times we've been warned, et cetera. But it is one of those things that's meaningful. It's the ones that are really frustrating are the ones you see pulled over on the shoulder of the road prior to coming into the landfill to tarp it before they come in, which really is a head scratcher on that one. Why would you pull over on the shoulder of a road to put your tarp on when you should have done that when you left home?
You could have done it
in your driveway. We're a little safer and a little more non-rude, I guess, frankly. You knew the policy, so why didn't you do it from the beginning? So anyway. Yeah.
And for people that wonder, this has been in place decades.
Yes.
Part of the issue was that many years ago, as people were hauling things out, it was blowing out into the ditches on the way out and along Highway 30. So it's not, this is not new. It's been around for quite a while. Most people are pretty conscious of it and do that, but occasionally you just get some that aren't.
Yep, that's right. And we will get questions. Well, I just have an appliance to bring out. You know, do I have to cover that? Do I have to put a tarp over that? And I'll talk to people. If that's all you're bringing, you can strap it down, but it has to be strapped. And, it won't blow out. Well, no. Then fine, tarp it if you're going to argue about it. But, you know, I try to work with folks, too. It'd be secure your load. You know, if you're bringing branches, that's fine. What about the leaves blowing off? And, you know, it's not a huge issue, but it's just leaves. But it's that image of, just let it fly. Yeah. It's no big deal. So I try to have that understanding to be, if you're bringing out one appliance, strap it down. That's okay. But if you're bringing anything else, if you're throwing on a few other bags, whatever else, they got these other things too. No, then you got to tarp it.
Just throw it. Cover it.
Yep. And when in doubt, just tarp it. Just get it covered.
Just do it. It's easy enough to do.
That's right.
Well, again, we follow. Anyway, so we're back to our fencing. And part of it is being a good neighbor, because you get a lot of residential area. And again, into the valley area, when it blows that way,
that's right.
It gets there, and people will all of a sudden go, "Where's all this litter coming from?"
Yeah, well,
don't want to be the source.
That's right. Yeah, we do want to be a good neighbor. I know it's a landfill. There's issues with it already. There's all the traffic. There's the garbage. There's odor. I mean, there's things. But what can we control? What can we limit? And there's so many good things about having the fence. And if everything goes according to the image I have anyway, to capture all the stuff that's flying, it'll be a cost savings to us to not have our guys going, our people or staff members going out into the field, into the ditches, into the roads, into the neighbors' fields to gather those things back. It's a safety issue. It's not just about time, but it's also safety going through a plowed field. It's an ankle, a knee. As we get older, feel those things a little bit more, get one injury, and wow, that's it would pay off in itself just by having that prevention of any injuries.
So at a recent supervisor meeting, and this kind of ties in with what you're doing, is they adopt a road program, because you guys have pretty well handled that, again, through the year, keep Boone County beautiful.
Yep.
And the question did come up from the supervisors, is it being used? And we do have some people that are very dedicated to it, and some do it, and then they kind of grow out of it. But again, we do have a number of areas where one that comes to mind all the time is Seven Oaks adopting like the boat ramp area.
Yeah.
And they're there all the time. That they just make that their mission.
Yep. And they've adopted the hill, going up the hill and then across, across 30, I believe also. So yeah, they know it's their area. They were doing it anyway, the boat ramp. They pick up a lot anyway, so they officially adopted that area. But good to see them going up the hill too. I appreciate that. All the folks that are out doing that, especially we ask for folks that do that twice a year, those groups that are adopting a stretch of road, to go out twice a year. We help you out. If you're interested in doing something like this, we supply the bags and the grabbers, the safety vests, because we want you to be safe. You have to just let us know when you're going to do this. We'll arrange some supplies. You can stop by, pick them up. When you're done, you leave those things and let us know you're done. We'll come and pick it up from you for wherever you leave it, if you just let us know where it is. You're welcome to bring it out to the landfill and drop it off, and it'll be no charge. It's a service that we're doing. So just got to go through the right process to adopt it. We have signage to put up for safety. So we want folks to be safe when they're out doing those things. That's why we have certain stretches of road in the county that are available for adoption as well. So it meets the criteria of, is it safe? Are there certain stretches, big drop-offs? We don't want safety issues for folks. So want a good, positive, safe experience for everybody, for groups that are going out to clean up the county a little bit for us.
You guys do the county roads. DOT handles, I think, the big 30 and stuff.
That's right.
State roads.
Yep.
So, yeah. If you want to do along 17, talk to
That's right.
But if you want a county road where people are traveling in and out of, say, the ledges, there you go.
You bet. Yeah, and there's certain spots. So if you have one spot in particular, and check with us and see if it's an option for one.
Sure.
And then we'll, if not, maybe we can find something close or something similar, a road that will work for you. So
we've got some families, quite a few families that have done it, 4-H groups, I know.
Yep.
There's a number of different ones that do it. So. And if people are interested, all they got to do is contact the landfill and ask.
That's right.
No doubt about it. And again, if you need any of the guideline parts.
You bet. Just give us a call, 515-433-0591. Glad to help you out anyway.
So we had another back to our regular first Saturday for household hazardous waste opportunity. I don't know if anybody came out this last Saturday. But again, this you'll do it the first Saturday now here in August and again in September. October is in Madrid.
There you go. And then one more in November after that back at the landfill, and then we're shutting her down for the winter after that. But
again, this is just the free Saturday morning ones. People can also schedule appointments to do this.
And that's free also. It's just a scheduling of an appointment during the week. Just have to have staff available. So it's those Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month, that we have staffing available to commit to those. So you don't need to make an appointment. Free service to the community. So bring out your pesticides, herbicides, oil-based paint, stain, varnish, aerosol cans, spray paint cans. We do a lot of aerosol cans in our got a lot of.
I bet there are. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a regular list of items that can be available, and if they ever have any questions, call.
Yep.
Call and ask.
Yep. Please do. You know, we do have that. We can try to stop.
The latex paint. Let's just go with that as an example.
Yeah. When you load up a whole truckload of paint and we have to turn away 3/4 of it because it's latex paint, sorry, but that's the rules. So give us a call first. We can help you out with that. Tell you where to find that information because sometimes it's tricky on where the words, what does it say, oil or latex, and doesn't say. Mm-hmm. But if you look in that cleanup language of how to clean up your brushes or clean up afterwards, if it's mineral spirits, oil-based paint, or if it's soap and water, then it's a latex paint. So
easy to figure out.
Yep, it is.
But and again, these are just some of the things. So and we do have, again, not business oriented. Business, you can set them up with Metro. They can go down there. And I think some of the farmers that have bigger containers and stuff, but they work with their suppliers anyway. So that's most of it goes pretty good there. I did want to say there are other things that go on, but I did want to ask about operations because I know at your last meeting with the supervisor you were saying we did have some things break down. having the right equipment to be able to continue to keep doing that. And again, part of the day-to-day operation, equipment takes a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, it sure does. So it's amazing how much equipment we have, different things, different equipment for different processes, frankly. So you have the big compactor, and we have a backup one. Those work great for smashing garbage and driving it down. It also has big cleats on it, so that would be problematic to use that to push the garbage up to the garbage pile that needs to be smashed, because then it tears up the floor, the dumping floor, and then trucks are trying to drive through that, and it's
real bumpy.
Not good. Yeah, so
real bumpy.
So it doesn't really work in that regard to have that equipment down there. So we need a steel-wheeled equipment to push the garbage up to where it can be compacted. And then rubber tires don't work down there. So then when all the steel tracked vehicles are broken down, it presents a challenge on how do we manage all this stuff. So, you know, we have a couple compactors. We have a dozer. We put that into the shop for a big rebuild. It was a 12-week rebuild because we have a track loader that can help push the garbage in its place. Well, when that breaks down, then we start running into some issues. And sure enough, that broke down. So we were down to one piece of equipment for the entire thing. So except for a rubber-tired vehicle, which also has a head gasket issue. So throw that into the mix. So we're trying to really get through this time.
I got to say, your staff was real busy.
Yeah.
And they were scrambling to keep things going.
Yep, that's right. So it was certainly a challenge, and of how do we handle the 400 some ton, you know, a day, 500? It depends. And of course, we get the construction and demolition waste from Story County. We get sometimes there's a 50% diversion of the Ames material coming over to us. So some more MSW. So you're getting more and more tonnage, and we're having to push that more. And then when you have less equipment, and it gets a little tense, and it's a slower process, and we try to do it as quickly as possible. But and then you throw in a lightning delay when there's bad weather, and then we have to hold up for safety issues. And I know it gets stressful, and I'm sure it's not popular to make those decisions, but all in the name of safety and what we can do. So that's why we have those things.
What, your guys don't like sitting on big metal equipment out there in a lightning storm?
Yeah. You know, they act like, oh, well, it's okay. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. So it's a thing that we're going to enforce. And I'm sure there's, you know, daggers being shot at me about doing these things. But I don't want that on my conscience.
There is that OSHA deal there.
Yeah, there is. There's
somebody. What?
So let's get them out of the steel-wheeled vehicles and equipment, and let's get them somewhere safe. And that's why we have that lightning policy in place. So, yeah.
How much, because I know you got facilities to house some things, but obviously you don't have big, big structures to house all your equipment. That's almost next to impossible, I would imagine.
Yeah, it gets pretty tight. In the wintertime especially, we try to get everything in, of course, to keep it heated and stored better, and et cetera. But, boy, it's like, I don't know, what would it be, Jenga trying to get those things, or Tetris, getting them into the right spot, and guys will do very well about positioning those things. But yeah, it gets tight. We have 6 stalls over in our new shop, a couple stalls in our old shop, boy, it gets tight. Yeah, we had equipment, but we don't have more space, so we're pretty well maxed out. And and then when it breaks down inside there and then it's really not moving, it's really problematic too.
So we keep plugging away at it, working at it. So, well, that's what we have to do. Let's see. I was going to ask a couple other things that are going on. Oh, one of the things that did come up, you mentioned Ames carrying or bringing material over, things like that. I know they've been over to take a look at the landfill. The supervisor has been concerned about life expectancy of the landfill. That's been the big challenge.
Certainly. Yeah, and the amount of tonnage coming from Story County, Ames and Story County to us, fills us up a lot faster, cuts down on our available airspace to smash garbage and pack it in. So start getting into that issue of we're running out of room, and how can we not do that so fast? Let's drag this out as long as possible. Let's keep our airspace. Let's do a better job with it. So I think we do a better job. We have a bigger compactor, so we can smash more stuff and get better compaction rates. We're using a spray material instead of dirt to try to prolong, again, that space. So looking at what's in our best interest going forward. What is the next 10, 15, 20 years? Is it 20 years?
Is it 20?
What's our end life? You know, it's build it to capacity. You know, how if we're limited what the property is right now on what we're able to do, we have one more cell that can be added to our current area, and then we continue to fill that up. And then we build it to closure. What are we looking at? You know, is it 20 years? Is it 25? Is it, you know, what if we slow that down? What if we take that Story County waste and put a stop to it, or find a different spot for them to go? What does that do to our life of our property, of our operation, just of our service to our community? So
any landfill is dealing with these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
I mean, we just happen to be at that point where we could see potentially an end.
Yeah, it was always talked about before in years past. Oh, yeah, end life. Well, it's coming to fruition. You know, it's coming. It's not far down the road, I guess. And, we start making plans. You look at, like, Cedar Rapids is going through this. They know they're running out of room, and they can't expand. And that's one of the general rules by the DNR is to say you can expand your landfill, adjoining property. You can expand that way, but you can't just shut down, fill that one up, and then go the other side of the county and on the other side of the street or anywhere and put up another one. They don't want more landfills to supervise, to regulate, and handle. So What do you do? And Cedar Rapids, you know, much more significant tonnage coming into the sure. landfill than us. What are they looking to do? And it's going to be transferred. So they'll finish out their landfill. They're already starting in that process to slow that down and starting to transfer some of those things or experiment with that as a transfer facility to send that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they're looking at 2040 as their full-blown closure. And, that's that's a big one, you know, a big service area for sure.
And for us, and people will say, "Wow, you got a lot of years to." But first of all, like if you're doing a cell, I mean, you have a couple of years planning for that, a year at least for construction of that,
yeah,
and to be able to start using it. So yeah, thinking 5 years ahead, 7 years ahead is not out of line for.
No.
What you have to do.
No, it isn't. Yeah. You know, you start looking at how fast we're going up and, you know, this current cell and how fast we're already climbing and where does it, when is it most beneficial to do that next expansion horizontally to allow for more vertical growth too? So as you expand wider, then you can go taller. And, you know, do you want to go tall first or wider first? Which is it? And working that out. So fortunately, we have some engineers that are wonderful to work with and huge help, and they can provide proper guidance on probably the best time to do that. So
interesting.
It's always nice to have help.
Always for people, you know, when we mention this, that the supervisors talk about it, and when you're in there visiting with them, there's a reason. They're starting to plan for what decisions need to be made in the next 3 to 5 years or so.
That's right.
So. John Rose, our guest on the program today, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.